You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Happy Tuesday. The Timberwolves, of course, played a Monday matinee on Martin Luther King Jr. Day and fell to the Atlanta Hawks on the road in what was a game they were in at the end, but was not great basketball. So we'll break down the game, what the issues were, who played well, who did not, the Timberwolves studs and duds and all that will be today's show. Before we get to all of that, though, a quick reminder that you can subscribe to this podcast anywhere that you get podcasts. That includes Apple, that includes Stitcher, Spotify, Google. You can also follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. A couple of quick notes, actually one main quick note off the top is on late Monday, there was a report from Sportico, Peter Schwartz at Sportico, that they are, I guess, doing their own valuations in NBA teams this year. Sportico is a great site, and they do a lot of great work, salary cap stuff, and you know, it's a pretty easy to use site. But typically, we get our information on franchise valuations from Forbes, and that's just kind of the standard. And it's typically more of like a late winter, early spring release, I think kind of end of the first quarter. And last year, the Timberwolves were ranked, I think, in the bottom three in the league. And the valuation of the franchise was about $1.3 billion, excuse me. This time around, according to Sportico, the Timberwolves are still third from the bottom. So I think a spot ahead of where they were in last year's Forbes rankings, but ranked $1.43 billion, more than the Grizzlies at $1.36 billion and the Pelicans at $1.35 billion. The franchise at the top, of course, the Knicks, Warriors, and Lakers are all well over $5 billion in valuation. The Nets are actually a fairly distant fourth at $3.4 billion. So this seems to be fairly in line with last year's Forbes rankings, if you consider inflation and all that, maybe a little higher than I would have expected, given the pandemic and the lack of actual revenue streams for all of these teams. So interesting, log that away. You know, it's been a couple weeks now since we've talked about the most recent news, the Brian Windhorst report at ESPN about Glenn Taylor not finding the deal that he wants and the Timberwolves not finding any potential buyers at this point willing to pay what Taylor wants, primarily due to the lack of certainty over the next year. Certainly no revenue stream at this point. It's looking really unlikely there's any fans at Target Center during this season. And so, of course, Glenn is holding on to the belief, or the, I guess, the principle that he's not going to sell the team to somebody that wants to move them out of the Twin Cities. So something to keep in mind, something to keep an eye on. I'm sure that's something that he'll be citing in the sales process, that valuation has come out now of over $1.4 billion. The rumor was he was seeking between 1.2 and 1.4, and he was getting offered more than that by folks who wanted to move the team, and less than the 1.4 billion was kind of thought of as, like, you know, he's not going to get more than 1.4 if he's going to tell suitors that they can't move the team out of Minnesota. So, I don't know that it moves the needle much, but it's a good sign, I guess, to see them moving slightly in the right direction from a valuation perspective, despite the pandemic. We'll see what Forbes has to say here in a few weeks on that front. All right, moving on to the game against the Hawks. What I want to do is just kind of hit the high points of the game flow, I guess, if you will, and then studs and duds from the game against the Hawks. This was certainly sloppy. It was not good basketball, really, by either team. At the same time, it was kind of fun because it was such a back and forth game. Although, like, the first couple minutes of the game, it was like it took forever for somebody to score. There were a lot of missed baskets. The defense wasn't outstanding by any means either. So it was just kind of one of those, you know, it was day basketball. That's what often seems to happen for these matinee games, is these guys roll out of bed and they just kind of run up and down, and it's got more of that high school open gym type feel. The Hawks won 108-97, so it ended up being an 11-point margin, but it was down to six with under 2 minutes to play. And the Timberwolves were very much in the game down the stretch. The Hawks had actually stretched their lead to 15 late in the third quarter, but Minnesota made that push early to mid fourth quarter to kind of hang around. And then finally, there were a couple of big shots, back-to-back threes by Malik Beasley, that got the Wolves within a couple of possessions. kind of rewinding to the beginning of the game, though, the Wolves started playing okay defense, at least in terms of playing hard. I should note Jared Vanderbilt started the first game of his career along with Naz Reid, and I predicted this on the pod on Monday. I thought that the Wolves might try starting Vanderbilt and Reid, and I was right. They had previously been starting Ed Davis in Towns' absence and having Naz Reid come off the bench to try and keep that unit together. But my thinking had basically been Vanderbilt's giving you your solid minutes at the four, your best minutes at the four really all season. He's that defensive presence. Naz can replicate a fraction at least of what Towns can do, you know, theoretically can spread the floor in a similar way. Obviously not to the ability of Towns, but that way then you can run your starting unit how you typically would, and then just leave Ed Davis for those backup 4 minutes or backup 5 minutes, excuse me. And that's what they did. They started Vanderbilt and Naz. And like I mentioned, predictably, both teams were sloppy. For the game, the Wolves shot under 40%. The Hawks were just under 47%. There were 42 turnovers in this game, 24 of which were by the Hawks. So I'll get into that in a second as one of the crazy things about this game, that the Wolves weren't able to be more in the game than they ultimately were. I mean, the Wolves were trailing for basically the entire game, almost wire to wire, and it was pretty much in that 8 to 12 point range. The Hawks could never quite put the Wolves away. And the first half was kind of the same. I mean, the Wolves were a little bit closer, and then the Hawks kind of started to extend that lead. They got it to double figures at some point in the second quarter. By halftime, it was a 7-point deficit for the Timberwolves. And the Wolves were actually doing a fairly good job on Trae Young. He got into a little bit of foul trouble. He ultimately only played 32 minutes. And Josh Okogie was pretty much trailing him everywhere. And I actually had noted after the game, I was wondering if Josh Okogie had been injured because he was out for a stretch in the third quarter and early fourth quarter and ultimately only played, 22 minutes in this game. And Saunders said after the game they were trying to match his minutes with Trae Young, which is a little confusing because Trae Young played 10 more minutes than Okogie, but he said Okogie was not injured. The Wolves instead rolled with 30 minutes for Anthony Edwards, and he had another difficult game, albeit a little bit better than his last couple times out, but he shot just 5 of 16 and played that whopping 30 minutes, which was actually third on the Wolves for Anthony Edwards in terms of minutes. But the Wolves' game plan was basically to have him follow Trae Young, make things difficult in the pick and roll. And Trae did have 6 turnovers, but he also had 13 assists. He still had 20 points, even though he only attempted 8 shots in the game because he got to the free throw line 13 times and made 12 of them. He's an outstanding free throw shooter. And so his line of 20 points, 13 assists, 8 rebounds, 3 steals is nice, even with the 6 turnovers. I mean, it certainly wasn't his best game, but given the foul trouble and the turnovers, that's about as good of a game as you can have as Trae Young put together. The first half of the game, D'Angelo Russell kept the Wolves in it. It was awesome. I think he had right around 20 points by halftime, pretty close to 20 by halftime. Malik Beasley had a decent first half, but he wasn't quite as efficient as we've come to expect. Nobody else really stuck out. Jaden McDaniels was in the rotation for the first time this year. Previously, he'd only seen minutes in garbage time, so it was good to see that. He hit a 3-pointer almost right away after he came into the game and was active defensively, but not really effective. He only had 1 rebound in 12 minutes and didn't have any other stats. He missed 3 shots and was 1 of 3 shooting from beyond the arc. So 3 of his 4 shot attempts were threes. The second half, things were much worse. The third quarter, D'Angelo Russell kind of disappeared a little bit. The Hawks stretched their lead to 15 points late in the quarter. And then Russell made a big push in the fourth. He had a 5-0 run on his own that caused a Hawks timeout. Then Beasley hit back-to-back threes. I think one was in transition. One they called a play for him, and he knocked it down. And the Wolves were within 6, forcing another Hawks timeout. And then with the Wolves within 6 down the stretch, the Wolves defense, after having actually played fairly well in the fourth quarter, the Hawks offense was really discombobulated. Of course, they're still really shorthanded. But for the most part, this is the group they've been playing with this season because of the injuries. And the offense just wasn't running smoothly for the Hawks. After one of those timeouts, and you give credit to their coach, Lloyd Pierce, they called a play. They got Kevin Huerter a wide open corner 3. He knocked it down. And the Wolves had a couple of minutes where they kind of matched the Hawks blow for blow. But it just, at that point, they just couldn't stop Atlanta. And it was still a 6-point game. And there was a possession where Trae Young was in the pick and roll. And Josh Okogie and Naz Reid were trying to guard him, and I forget who the role man was, but Naz just kind of hung in no man's land. It's the same issue the Wolves had the other night, last Wednesday against Memphis down the stretch when Towns and Ricky Rubio got caught in the wash on the pick and roll. This happened with Naz and with Josh Okogie. Okogie was just kind of giving Trae Young his space, expecting that he was going to kick it back to the roll man. And Naz Reid was kind of doing the same thing. And Young ended up getting basically an uncontested layup because Okogie was playing a little too far off and Naz was caught in no man's land, wasn't really playing the lob and didn't get over in time to contest the shot. And Trae Young scored at the rim and it was an 8-point game again. There was still some back and forth after that, but that was just kind of the microcosm of the Wolves defense down the stretch. They just all of a sudden, after at least being active during the game, it wasn't great defense. The Hawks had their highest scoring quarter in the fourth and were able to just kind of pull away there at the end. They then, you know, made basically all their free throws once the Wolves started playing the foul game. So next I want to go through some of those, kind of takeaways from the game before getting to studs and duds. Before we do that though, let's talk about our great friends at betonline.ag. Are you ready for football? Playoff football. Championship Sunday is this coming Sunday. AFC and NFC championship games, 4 great divisional games over the weekend. Of course, college basketball is still in the middle of the conference season. And of course, the NBA futures, all that stuff's out there. There's only one place that has you covered if you like to bet, and one place that we here at Locked On trust, and that's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. That's all sports and really, you know, futures bets, prop bets. If you're just betting on individual games, college basketball, the NFL still for the playoffs, as well as the NBA and more, get in on the action right now. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. East meets West in Locked On NBA Tuesdays. Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Mercury News and host of Locked On Warriors, and David Ramil, host of Locked On Heat, tackle the biggest NBA stories of the day coast to coast. Subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so key takeaways from this game for the Timberwolves before we get to studs and duds. First of all, obviously sloppy offense. I mentioned that already. And this is partly a product of this lineup not really playing together. And also D'Angelo Russell understanding that and trying to be really ball dominant, which he succeeded in doing and actually was really good in this game. And I'll get to him specifically more once I get into studs and duds. But D'Lo was really good. He played about as good as he could have played without Towns on the floor. So kudos to him. And, you know, for again, the Wolves shooting under 40%. D'Angelo Russell attempted 22 shots, by far the most on the Wolves, and he was at 50%. So he was not the problem. Similar to actually last Wednesday, you know, we looked at Russell, Beasley, and Towns as combining to score, I think it was like 78 of 120-ish points for the Timberwolves. Nobody else came to the party. Today, it was really only D'Angelo Russell. Towns obviously didn't play, and Beasley wasn't very good, and nobody else scored. The Wolves only had 3 guys in double figures, and Beasley shot under 33%, about 30% for the game for 50 points. Same with Anthony Edwards. He shot under 33%, had 12 points. Nobody else had more than 9 points for the Timberwolves in this game. Turnovers are the other thing that really stuck out. The Wolves had 18, which is too many. The Hawks had 24 and fairly easily won this game. And the Hawks only had 15 steals. The Wolves had 16. That means that the Hawks had 8 unforced turnovers that weren't steals, throwing the ball out of bounds, travels, offensive fouls, whatever. And that's obviously a really crude way of figuring that out because the defense can help force some of those things. But of the Wolves 18 turnovers, the Hawks had 15 steals. Of the Hawks 24 turnovers, the Wolves only had 16 steals. So that's just another example of the Wolves. You know, they played okay defensively. They played hard, but they didn't have a great defensive game. Also, you could point to shooting percentage. The Hawks were 46.8%, and again, kind of made hay in the paint where the Wolves continue to struggle. And the Hawks were depleted too. We knew coming into the game that they were shorthanded. They only had 8 points scored off their bench. And we talk about the Wolves' lack of bench production, but this was all about Trae Young creating, Clint Capella doing work in the paint, and also DeAndre Hunter. Basically, I think it was a season high 25 points for him, shot 8 of 15. The Wolves couldn't really slow him down. This was an example of the Wolves not having enough defenders. Josh Okogie was reserved apparently for guarding Trae Young, and that left Malik Beasley and others to chase DeAndre Hunter, and that didn't work out. John Collins only had 15 and 7 in this game, but he was efficient. He was actually a team high plus 22 for them and shot 6 of 8. It was DeAndre Hunter that was the problem. Jarrett Culver had a good game, but he only played 19 minutes off the bench, and the Wolves just didn't have enough wing defenders, two-way, and frankly, two-way wing defenders because they didn't score enough either. to be effective in this game. The other thing is rebounding. The Wolves are out rebounded 48-39. More importantly, at the center position, Naz Reid had 2 rebounds in 28 minutes, and we'll talk more about him in a second. 2 rebounds in 28 minutes as a starting center in the NBA will not cut it. Ed Davis was a little better, 4 rebounds in 14 minutes, but go ahead and add that up. I'll do it for you. That's 42 minutes of play from those two at the center position and a total of 6 rebounds. That will not cut it. Jared Vanderbilt had 8 in 29 minutes. Nobody else on the Timberwolves had more than 7, and that was Jarrett Culver in his only 19 minutes off the bench. Again, like I said, he played fairly well in this game. So that is really disappointing. It was my concern. It's what I said in Monday's show, and I've said it before. Naz Reid does not rebound consistently well enough to be a starter in this league, and he only really works in short stretches as a guy off the bench because he can have these nice, you know, runs where he's aggressive offensively and he's effective. He actually had one of those in this game where he had he knocked down a 3. There was a point where he had kind of like a whirling dervish move to the paint and a little scoop shot that went in. And, he's very adept offensively, but defensively he's spotty, and rebounding wise, he's typically not very good. And that's an issue, especially when, you know, the rest of your starter, you know, Malik Beasley's rebounded the ball well. Josh Kogi's generally a good rebounder for his position. And D'Angelo Russell typically is too, but the 3 of them combined to only have 10 rebounds between the 3 of them. And so you can't have Naz Reid only pulling down 2 rebounds in 28 minutes. That's a major problem. The Hawks only had 7 offensive rebounds, but the Wolves themselves weren't getting the second chance opportunities they're used to. Naz Reid had 0 offensive rebounds, for instance. Ed Davis had 3. So rebounding is another issue, and we've said this now for over a year. Especially without Towns on the floor, it's consistently a problem for Ryan Saunders' Timberwolves teams and the teams that Gerson Rosas has put together. And part of that is due to the structure and their propensity to play small ball. But Naz Reid's a center, and he just is. He's a center, and he's got to rebound the ball better. We're getting to the point where he's played enough games in his career, we could start looking at that rebound rate and scratching our heads and saying, what's he got to do differently to be more effective on the glass? Okay, next I want to do studs and duds. Before we get to that, though, of course, we have to talk about our great friends at rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts that you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person at the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer with access to rockauto.com, not only at home, but also in your pocket. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, but rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. rockauto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. rockauto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Best of all, I'll say it again, the prices at rockauto.com are reliably low all the time, and they're always the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the exact same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. That's Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. March Madness is now only a few weeks away, and the future of the NBA is on display right now. Get a head start on next year's draft analysis by subscribing to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast. Draft guru Chad Ford has his first Big Board of the year out with profiles of Cade Cunningham, Jalen Suggs, Evan Mobley, and more. Subscribe to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast wherever you get your podcasts. All right, a couple of other quick observations before studs and duds, actually. One, I mentioned this earlier, but Anthony Edwards played 30 minutes in this game off the bench, and it's not like he was playing super well. This could have been a situation of a combination of he struggled recently, you know, ever since the end of game mental mistake at the end of the Spurs game last weekend. He had the offer on the Sunday game against the Spurs, had a bad game against Memphis last Wednesday. He's like 1 for his last 14 coming into this game. So this could have been a, you know, let's let him try and shoot his way out of this. He's actually playing okay in this game. Plus, it was a sloppy game. And frankly, this is the type of game where you feel like Anthony Edwards might have some success, broken floor threes, get into the paint, just be a bull in a china shop. And he did play much better than the last two games that he's played. He had 12 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, only 1 turnover. he was a plus one in a game the Wolves lost by 11, but he shot 5 of 16 from the floor. He was 2 of 5 beyond the arc. So, you know, that means he was what? 3 of 11 inside the arc. There were a couple of instances where he should have gotten whistles at the rim and he didn't. And he actually spoke about that after the game in the post game. He talked about how he doesn't get whistles at the rim, but he doesn't worry too much about it. He just doesn't understand why the officials call the games the way they do. And, you know, he's not the only one. So there were a couple of those. He probably deserved to go to the free throw line. 16 field goal attempts, 11 inside the arc, and 0 free throw attempts for Anthony Edwards. Was certainly not all his fault. So he's not a dud for this game. Spoiler on that. But, you know, 30 minutes and 5 of 16 shooting, it's tough to get too upset about it in a game that the Wolves were in and they needed some offensive punch. And I'm sure that was the other part of the thought process was, you know, nobody on this team scoring, might as well give Ant the chance to do so. But he just didn't have a great game overall. It was just encouraging to see some progress there. I talked about Jaden McDaniels' minutes already. Also, Jarrett Culver. He had 7 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists in this game, and a block. 3 of 6 shooting. He got to the free throw line, made 1 of 2 there. This was easily his best game in a couple of weeks, at least. It was very active defensively. It felt like he had more than one block, but he did have the 3 steals. And aggressive offensively. He turned it over 3 times in 19 minutes. But overall, this was easily, like I said, his best game in the last several. So that was good to see. All right, studs for this game. It was actually only easy to think of one. I came up with a second because I felt like I had to. D'Angelo Russell is one. He had 31 points, 7 assists, 4 steals, 3 rebounds, and a block, and only 3 turnovers in 32 minutes, 11 of 22 shooting, 6 of 13 beyond the arc, 3 of 5 at the free throw line. So any D'Lo game where he shoots 50%, still jacks up 13 threes, and gets to the free throw line 5 times is a pretty good D'Lo game. Add in the 7-3 assist to turnover ratio, and he was only a -3 in 32 minutes in a game the Wolves lost by 11. This was overall a pretty good performance from D'Angelo Russell, a really good one, actually. Probably one of his top 3 or 4 games so far this season, and that was good to see. He did have a little bit of that, hey, Cat's not here, I need to chuck going on, but the shots went in 50% of the time, and the Wolves needed it. They still only scored 97 points. So he had a couple of his assists were really nice, were kind of the one-handed, there was one where he just whipped a pass to Vanderbilt for a dunk that was just phenomenal. And just a really good all-around game from D'Lo, and it was great to see. The other one was tough to come up with. I mentioned Edwards 5 of 16 shooting. We'll talk about Malik Beasley in a minute. He's on the wrong side of this ledger, I guess. So my other stud's Jared Vanderbilt. He had 8 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, and a block in 29 minutes. He was a -17, which actually was a team worse. But this is an example, again, of I don't think this tells the whole story. He did have a couple of defensive lapses. A couple of his turnovers were really silly. He tried to save a ball that was going out of bounds off Atlanta, clearly on a rebound, but was just trying to grab a rebound. And ultimately, the ball went out of bounds off Jared Vanderbilt. He kind of tried to save it, and it went back out of bounds. And then, like, I think on the next possession on defense, he just lost his man and had a bad play. But, you know, you take out a couple of the sequences and you know what you're going to get. I mean, he plays 30 minutes a game and puts up 8 and 8. You know, if that becomes 12 and 10 or whatever in 32 minutes, 33 minutes, and he chips in 3 assists, 3 steals, and a block, I mean, those are pretty good minutes out of your 4. When Karl-Anthony Towns is in the game, that's totally fine. That's what you want. You want an energy guy who can rebound and play defense. And I'll say this till I'm blue in the face, and I have been for months. He's a perfect fit with Karl-Anthony Towns. Now, with no Towns, Vanderbilt's offensive shortcomings become more glaring when he only attempts 4 shots in 29 minutes. You have Josh Kogi attempting just 3 shots, and, you know, 2 of your 5 starters are combining to shoot, you know, they're only attempting 7 shots from the field, 1 3-pointer. That can be an issue. But with Towns in the lineup, again, I think Vanderbilt is the best fit at the 4. He's going to give you that consistent sniff a double-double and contribute some steals, blocks, assists, and that matters. So he had a decent all-around game, was certainly active per usual. In terms of duds, I also had a tough time coming up with one specific dud in this game as well. D'Lo was the only stud, and I gave Vanderbilt one because I wanted a second. Kind of the same thing with duds. The non-D'Lo Wolves shot 36% from the field in this game, 36.2%. So that was really bad. I mean, there wasn't any one guy that just, I mentioned that both Edwards and Beasley were below 33% shooting, which is miserable. But, you know, Edwards, for the most part, was a step in the right direction, was okay. Beasley was actually a plus five, which was the Timberwolves' best mark, and had a couple of big threes down the stretch to keep the Wolves close. So I actually split this dud between Malik Beasley and Naz Reid, because those two guys were starters that the Wolves were relying on to be effective without Towns and also without Ricky Rubio and Juancho Hernan Gomez. And Malik shot 5 of 17, had 15 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, a block, and a steal. It was tough to give him the full dud, if you will, because he did have those big threes late. He shot 4 of 10 beyond the arc. He had the 5 rebounds. And again, grains of salt abound here, because I gave Vanderbilt a stud despite being a minus 17. And the single game plus minus can be very deceptive. Beasley was a plus 5 for whatever that's worth. But he only did shoot the one free throw. He was just kind of chucking in the middle part of the game and couldn't make shots, you know, mid-range, long range, didn't matter. He only, what was he, 1 of 7 inside the arc in this game. So not a great game from Beasley. Ultimately, he kind of shot his way out of it at the end a little bit. And so he doesn't get saddled with the full dud. Naz Reid, I already mentioned, the 2 rebounds in 28 minutes is unacceptable from your starting center. 9 points on 9 shots isn't great. In terms of efficiency, still had 2 turnovers. He didn't get into foul trouble, which is great, but he just didn't do enough without Karl-Anthony Towns in the mix for the Timberwolves to come away with a win. And so I think Beasley's performance was the most disappointing, because he's the guy the Wolves had to rely on. And if he has a game like he did on Wednesday against Memphis, the Wolves win this game. I mean, that's how sloppy Atlanta was and how active Minnesota was overall. So that's why that was... You know, his performance was certainly the most disappointing in this particular game. Looking ahead real quickly. So the rest of this week, Tuesday show, we'll talk power rankings Wednesday show. Today is Tuesday. It feels like Monday with the holiday on Monday. Wednesday show, we'll talk power rankings for the week. We'll also look ahead with a quick preview of the Wednesday night game between the Magic and the Timberwolves. The Wolves are back home to take on a 6-8 Magic team on Wednesday. So we'll take a look at Orlando's season so far, how the two teams match up, and hopefully get a decent update on the Wolves injury report situation and see if perhaps, you know, maybe Rubio's back or whatever. We know that Hernan Gomez and Towns are both still in isolation, and hopefully they're, you know, we know for sure that Towns had tested positive for COVID. We don't know that for sure with Hernan Gomez, just that he's in 10-day isolation, but continue to hope and pray that those guys, you know, have a speedy recovery and a full recovery. So we'll update any of that information on Wednesday's show. We'll look at power rankings. We'll look ahead to Wolves Magic. And then in terms of the rest of the week, the Wolves get to stay at home and host the same Atlanta Hawks on Friday, get another crack at them. And then on the back-to-back, they'll have the New Orleans Pelicans on Saturday. So 3 more home games the rest of this week, 3 home games in 4 days. And then they head out next week for a quick West Coast swing. They'll have 2 games in Golden State on next Monday and Wednesday. And of course, the Warriors are suddenly playing much better. So here's hoping the Wolves are a little bit more at full strength by that point. So we'll see you back here on Wednesday for the show. Thanks once again for listening to Locked On Wolves. A reminder, you can subscribe to this podcast anywhere you get podcasts. And please, you know, subscribe and give us a review, especially in iTunes. That definitely helps us out. We really appreciate that. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. All right, that's all we have for you today. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, of course, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. We'll see you back here on Wednesday. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.